As we sang there in that hymn a moment ago, it says here, His honor is engaged to save the meanest of His sheep. Now, as we would normally use that word mean, we would mean that to be somebody who did bad things, the meanest, the orneriest, the sorriest. And surely all of that could be contained in that. Of course, as Paul said, that he was the chief of sinners. He said, the Lord Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. So in that sense, you could say he was the meanest, and so the Lord did. But I don't think that's what the hymn writer meant here, because in the time in which this hymn was written, that word, the word mean, normally had reference to that which was the lowest, that which was the bottom. It was the meanest. It was the least. And so what the scriptures, what the hymn writer is saying here is his honor is engaged to save the very least of his sheep. He won't lose one of them. Even the weakest one, even the one who's out on the hills and is caught in the bramble bush, even as that one whom the Lord said that he would leave the 99 and he would go and he would search till he found that one. Of course, it was not enough that he had the 99, but he wanted all of them. And so it is that the Lord Jesus, he would not in any wise abandon those whom he loves. And he would continue his work until he had accomplished exactly what he set out to do. And he does indeed save the meanest of his sheep. 1 Corinthians, and we've been looking here in chapter 3, and we actually have kind of gone through chapter 3. I want to read verse 20 of chapter 3, and then we're going to begin looking here in chapter 4. In verse 20 it says, And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. And that word vain means futile. Now, we don't like to think of our thoughts as being futile, but that's what the Lord thinks of. I mean, that's what the Lord thinks of all the wisdom of men, is that it's futile. It doesn't accomplish anything. You know, we have plans and we determine that we're going to do this, and we think great thoughts, and we do all these things. And to us, they seem so important, but the Lord sees them for what they are. He said, they're dust. Man is made from the dust, and everything that he has is just a vapor. It's futile. It doesn't accomplish anything. So the Lord knows that they are vain. And if that be true, if He's given us wisdom and understanding to know that that is a fact, therefore, let no man glory in men. Let no man glory in men. But now, isn't that what the primary goal of people in this life is? Don't all the politicians want you to glory in them? I mean, they can quickly point out all the faults in all these other people as though they, you know, are the paragons of virtue, and they're the ones that they're holding themselves up as being this or that. But let God's people not be taken in by such things, because it doesn't make any difference who it is. It doesn't mean it was what they think or what they may have accomplished. Let no man glory in men. And then listen to what he says. For all things are yours. Now what he's saying there is, don't let a man think that he gets what he gets because of the ways of men or because of the gifts of men or because of the things that men can bring to them. Because remember what they were doing? They were saying, well, I'm of Paul, and I'm of Apollos, and I'm of Cephas, and I'm of this one, and I'm of that one. He said, don't do that. He said, that's the most foolish thing you can do because all things are yours, not because you got them from men, but because the Lord gave them to you. And that's the place that we are to be, not lifting up men on pedestals. And all of that, well, you know, but thanking God for whatever gifts He may give, but knowing this, as the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. And just as surely as the Lord gives something, He can take it back, if it so please Him. So, we don't glory in men. We are not to glory in men. Why? Because all things are ours. They've already been given to us by the Lord. He's the giver of every good and perfect gift. And they come from Him. And so He says, whether of Paul or Apollos or Cephas, or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, none of these things matter. It doesn't matter if we live or if we die. If we have wealth, if we don't have wealth, it doesn't matter what things may come or go in this world. None of that is of anything because all things are ours. That's why Paul said, for me to live is Christ, for to die is gain. I can't lose. I can't be in a worse condition because the Lord's already given us everything that we have. And so we are blessed as the children of God to have those things from His hands. And ye are Christ. What a glorious thing. Ye are Christ. You belong to Him, He said. If Christ undertook to redeem you, you belong to Him. If He's given you faith to believe in Him, you belong to Him. He doesn't give men faith to call upon His name and believe in Him and hunger and thirst after righteousness only to turn His back on them. But He causes them to believe because they belong to Him. And ye belong to Him. That's what He's saying here. And Christ is God's. Christ is God, essentially, what He's saying there. He said, you know, you don't get any higher than that. Just like Philip said, Lord, show us the Father and it'll suffice. He said, Philip, if I've been so long time with you and you didn't know who I was. Well, you see, we know who He is. Christ is God. He is God. He is the everlasting Father, and we don't look for another. We're not expecting to be moved up into a higher realm. All things are ours. They've been given to us in Christ. And if they've been given to us in Christ, they've been given to us in God. What a glorious thought, dear brethren, that this is no hierarchy involved here. Let a man so account of us as the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Now that's what he says. He says, don't be saying, I'm of Paul. Don't be putting, you know, hanging on to a man's shirt tails and saying, well, man, I'm going to follow this guy. He said, don't do that. But he said, just account of me. If you're going to look at me, just let a man account of us as the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Now, we're not anything, he said. Now, this is in a realm applicable to all of God's people, but Paul is applying it specifically to himself. He's not saying, I'm a minister and you're not. He's simply saying, this is the ministry that God has given to me. Now, I believe this, and that is that all of God's people minister one to the other. And the purpose of the giving of the gifts of preaching and teaching is for the purpose of building up the saints of God that they might perform the work of the ministry among the sons of God. And so we minister one to the other. And so it's not that, well, here's a group of ministers. Now, you often hear that term, you know, when you get a bunch of preachers together. And, you know, they're sitting up here on the chief seats or something, and they're up there, and we look at them and we say, well, there's the ministers. Well, dear brethren, when we look over the congregation of God, we see the ministers because we're ministering one to the other. That's the purpose of the gathering of the saints. Now, there are ministries that are different. Everybody's ministry is not the same, but all of God's people are called to the ministry, to minister one to the other. That just simply means to serve. It simply means to present to one another such things as God has given to us. And that's what Paul says. Now, he said, because he's been talking in terms of these, as these Corinthians have latched their hands on to Paul or Apollos or Peter or whoever, and he's saying, don't do that. He said, just think of us as ministers, just like yourself, but we've just been given this particular ministry, and it's not a greater ministry than any other, it's just that ministry. He said, let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ. Now, who would not want to be a minister of Christ? When we all want to be a minister of Christ, and so surely we all are ministers of Christ, because we're sent among the saints of God with a ministry, and we are to minister in that way. But he said, so let a man account of us as ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Now, the declaration of the gospel is the declaration of the mysteries of God. Now, they're not mysteries in the sense that God has hidden them from us, but He has hidden them from the wise and the prudent and revealed them unto us. And so it has pleased the Lord through the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe, and it has pleased Him to send preachers, ministers of the mysteries of God, into the world for that purpose. Now, that's not the only ministry, but it is a ministry. And it is a glorious ministry. And it's a blessed ministry. And it's one which the saints of God benefit from. And so he said, that's what I want you to account of us as just ministers of God. Whether it's Paul, Apollos, Cephas, we're not anything special. We're just ministers of the mysteries of God that He sent us to do, and we're doing that. And then He says, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Now, a steward, you remember that Eleazar, as he was mentioned this morning, Abraham's steward, chief steward in his house. And he was sent. And being the steward, he was the keeper of all of Abraham's wealth. Abraham didn't know how many sheep he had, but Eleazar did. Abraham didn't know how much gold he had, but Eleazar did. And he kept up with it. And he was a faithful steward. And he kept it for the Lord. And so, or for his Lord. And so it is that it's required in stewards that a man be found faithful. If a man is going to be a steward, the first thing that a man has to be in order to be a steward of the mysteries of God is to be faithful to the mysteries of God. I mean, he can't be coming up with some idea of his own because it fits everybody's, makes it sound, it makes everybody happy. Now, there's plenty of those who call themselves preachers whose primary purpose is to make everybody happy. They want folks to like them, and they want folks to like coming to church. You know, we want to make church a happy place, a fun place. We want folks to enjoy their experience. Now, I don't want to try to make it a miserable experience. I don't want to try to do something, you know, that would just irritate people. But that's not what we're sent to do. We're sent to tell the truth, is what Paul's saying. Just we're sent to minister the mysteries of God in a faithful fashion as the Word of God unfolds it. And if it tells us something that we don't like to hear, we've got to listen to it. We've got to proclaim it. We've got to say it. And it doesn't, it in no wise adds anything to our stature to declare that which belongs to our master. I don't know, of course some of y'all are old enough to remember, used to be a TV program on when I was a kid. It was called The Millionaire. And in that program, there was a guy, and of all things, he had his name was Michael Anthony, and that happens to be my first and middle name. I always wondered when I was growing up, if my mother named me after this guy, but of course that program came on later than when I was born, so it couldn't have been that. But in any event, this guy by the name of Michael Anthony, he was a steward over this rich man's fortune. The guy's name, I think, was J. Beresford Tipton, if I remember right. And he was this millionaire guy, had a bunch of money, and before he died, he wanted to give all of his money away. And so he would give to Michael Anthony a charge to go and deliver. He would find these people that he thought were worthy of the money, this Jay Beresford Tipton, and then he would send Michael Anthony with the money to find these people and give them the money. And so you always were hoping that Michael Anthony would show up on your doorstep. Now, I used to think when I was a kid watching that program that Michael Anthony, I mean, I just had in my mind that he was the one giving them the money. But Michael Anthony didn't, I mean, he was paid. He was just a paid servant. He didn't have the money. It wasn't his money. He was just bringing it to them. He was a steward. So he didn't have the money, but the guy that had the money was giving the money. And that's what the gospel is. The one that has the money is the one that's giving the money. And the steward is just the minister, the one he's bringing the doorbell and handing over the check. That's all that somebody who's preaching the gospel can do. They don't have anything. We're all sinners just like everybody else. We don't have anything to give. But he said here, it's required in stewards that a man be found faithful. But with me, it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you. He says, I don't care if you say you want to be of Paul. It doesn't make a difference to me. He said, that doesn't make me think more of you because you say, well, I want to follow what you've got to say. He said, because I'm not judged by you. Neither does it make any difference if you say, well, I don't believe a word you're saying. Because it don't make any difference if nobody believes it. See, because a steward, if he's found faithful, he's just carrying the message that he's been given. Now, he can't carry a message somebody else has been given. Now, a lot of times preachers think they can go off to a seminary or a Bible school or somewhere and they can learn how to be a preacher. Well, I'm telling you, you can't learn how to be a minister of the mysteries of God. You can't do it. Only the Lord can give a man those mysteries, write them upon his heart, and send him forth with them. And it's nothing to do with the man. It's no pat on his back or nothing else because he's nothing more than just a stone that the Lord raised up and used for that use. And that's what Paul says. It doesn't have anything to do with us. But with me, it's a very small thing that I should be judged of you or of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not mine own self. I don't stand to think, he said, that, man, I'm really doing a great job. Or I'm really doing a poor job. He said, I'm just trying to do the only thing I can do. I don't know. You know, when I just giving you my personal testimony, when I write something or when I preach something or anything, I don't know if it's any good or not. I don't know if it's doing you any good or whatever. All I can do is just deliver to you what the Lord delivered to me. And if it is beneficial, it's because He gave it. If it's not beneficial, it's because I was not faithful. I mean, that's just facts of life. And so he said, I don't even judge myself. Because you so I just commit it all into the hands of the Lord. For I know nothing by myself. I don't have any more wisdom about the Scriptures than anybody else does. If I see something and I say something, it's just because God showed it to me. And He didn't show it to me for my sake. See, the gifts that God gives to His people are not for their benefit, but it's for the benefit of the body. Now, this is where a lot of people go wrong in their quest for spiritual gifts. Because you've got a lot of people, they want spiritual gifts so they can be benefited by them. I remember a lady one time saying that she had, how many it was, 7 of the spiritual gifts, and she was working on number 8 or something. I don't know what it was. I can't remember exactly the details. But anyway, she was trying to get these things. Well, brethren, we're not sent out here to try to get these things. But rather, if we are given these things, to give them, even as they've been given to us, because they've not been given to us. The gifts are given to profit the whole body. And that's the purpose of the giving of those things. For I know nothing by myself, yet am I not hereby justified. But he that judges me is the Lord. So being a minister of the stewards of God, of mysteries of God, that doesn't make a man to be justified before God. It doesn't add to his stature with the Lord. I mean, the Lord doesn't say, well, he doesn't, you know, it's, some people have this idea, it's like, well, you know, he was a faithful preacher all his life, and now he's gone on to his great reward. Well, listen, the Lord doesn't have any regard to how good of a preacher somebody was, because he's the one made them, and they could have been a poor preacher or a good preacher, but they're just exactly the kind of preacher he sent, and he wanted them to be. And they're not justified or set apart because of that. Because it's all of the Lord. He that judgeth me is the Lord. Therefore, judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts. And then every man shall have praise of God. So he said, we're not in the business of going around praising men. Because the Lord is the only one that's worthy of praise. And when the Lord comes, he'll do as he sees fit to do. And all that he will see fit to do is to glorify the name of Christ. And that's all that anybody that's a faithful steward of the mysteries of God desires to see, is the name of Christ exalted. And so when somebody's desiring something else, you can be sure they're not a faithful minister. What if old Michael Anthony had gone to people's house and said, I'm going to give you this $1 million. You know, I've been saving this money up and I just decided to give it to you. And he went around doing that. And then word got back to old J. Beresford Tipton up there. Now, would he have thought, I mean, what would he have said to Michael Anthony? He said, you're taking glory to yourself, buddy, that you don't deserve. Because the money's mine. And so let every man that would declare the gospel always be mindful that it's what the Lord has that's important. And every man shall have praise of God. That is, he'll have praise in his heart for God. And the Lord, whatever praise is due unto men will be sufficient for whatever the Lord sees fit. And I believe the Lord will have praise for his people. I don't think he'll say, it'd be like, you know, you got an old dog and you say, get in here, you sorry hound. That's not going to be like that. He's going to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Because you see, every one of God's people are precious to him. Whether they thought they was a sorry low life or not, every one of them's precious in his sight that belong to him. And everyone that belongs to him, he will receive with gladness. Just like that old father went out every day and he looked for the coming of his prodigal son. And he waited and when he saw him. When he saw him, he didn't go sit on the porch and say, oh, wait till that sorry joker comes up here and I'm going to show him just how much trouble he caused me. No. No, when he saw him, Scripture says that he ran. And he fell on his neck and he kissed him. And he said to the servants of his house, he said, kill the fatted calf. For this my son that was lost is found. Oh, what a glorious thing. What a gracious Father we have who loves His people with an everlasting love and He draws them with cords of love and He provides everything for them that they could possibly ever need. And He holds back nothing from them. And He says, enter thou into the joy of the Lord and then shall every man have praise of God. Because you see, the Scripture says that there was a great multitude with crowns upon their heads. But they took their crowns off and they cast them down at his feet. Because you see, those who are brought to the knowledge of Christ know that there is nothing in themselves that would give them a place of standing before God. But it's simply the mercy and grace of Almighty God towards his people. And these things, brethren, I have in a figure transferred to myself and to Apollos for your sakes. Now he said, I'm taking this whole message here and I'm applying it to me and Apollos. He said, I'm telling you, don't glorify men. That ye might learn in us not to think of men above that is written. Let no man glory in another man. That's exactly what he had already told them, was it not? He said, that's what I want you to know. I'm being specific here, he said. So that you don't think I'm just kind of speaking in generalities, he says, I'm talking about me and Apollos. He said, don't think of us in any high way. Don't do it. That no one of you be puffed up for one against another. How foolish is such a thing? That we should raise one of God's children above the other. Because you see, we're to esteem one another above ourselves. And if each esteems the other above himself, there's only... There can't be, you know, we're just constantly lifting one another up, are we not? I mean, if I hold you up higher than me, and then you hold me up higher than you, and we just keep lifting one another up, well, I mean, you know, what can be the detriment in that? How can we be harmed in that? But there's benefit to God's people in such a thing. Why would we be puffed up one against another? Especially, he says, in saying, well, I'm a follower of Paul, as though that sets me above someone else. No, He said, what's Paul? What's Apollos? How's that going to be of any benefit to anybody? For who maketh thee to differ from another? I believe that this particular verse of Scripture, if ever you have the inclination to start thinking of yourself above somebody else, whether they be a believer or an unbeliever, when you start thinking of yourself as above somebody else or a cut different, or you look at somebody and say, well, that's sorry, no good for nothing. We do that every day, don't we? I mean, we look at people, well, you know that sorry joker, I mean, he ain't worth killing. Be careful. Because who maketh thee to differ from another? And what do you have that you have not received? And if you have received it, if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hadst not received it? Who maketh thee to differ? Oh, that we might have that verse might be, if you're going to get a tattoo, you need to get that tattooed up here on your forehead, but get it tattooed backwards so that when you look in the mirror every morning, you'd see it and you can read it. You know, like those signs on the front of the ambulance where you can see it in your rearview mirror. So when you look in that mirror, you can read that every day. Or probably the better thing is just tape it up there on your mirror and then you won't have to get the tattoo. But for who maketh thee to differ from another? And what do you have that you have not received? And I believe that's what Paul's message to these Corinthians is. I think he kind of bringing that to a head right there. What does any of us have? Paul, Apollos, Cephas? Doesn't matter. Brethren, none of that matters. Christ is all. And he's the only one worthy to be praised.